What's up, everyone? I'm Chris Voss. You're listening to the Hustle Inspires Hustle podcast.
You're listening to the Hustle Inspires Hustle podcast. Here, we'll help you unlock the secrets of entrepreneurship and self-development. This is your host, Alex Quinn. I'm a full-stack marketing executive and global keynote speaker. Get ready to get real-world knowledge from top-level entrepreneurs and world-class business leaders.
Hey guys, Randy Zuckerberg here.
Hi everyone, it's Neil Patel, and you're listening to Hustle Inspires Hustle.
This is the motherfucking CEO, Andy Frisella. You're listening to Hustle Inspires Hustle with Alex Quinn.
Become an authority and thought leader in your niche. Join a free private community of entrepreneurs and professionals looking to grow their business and optimize their performance. Get easy-to-learn resources and materials that empower your personal and financial success. Easily accessible for free on desktop and mobile app. Go to hustleinspireshustle.com/app to access now. That's hustleinspireshustle.com/app. Enjoy the rest of the episode.
This episode of the Hustle Inspires Hustle podcast is part one of a series with best-selling author Chris Voss. Stick around for part two as soon as you finish this one. What's going on, everyone? This is Alex Quinn, and you're listening to the Hustle Inspires Hustle podcast. On today's episode, we have Chris Voss. He was the lead international kidnapping negotiator for the FBI, author of the Wall Street Journal's bestseller, Never Split the Difference, Negotiating as if Your Life Depended on It, and CEO and founder of Black Swan Group, a consulting firm who provides training to Fortune 500 companies through complex negotiations. What's going on, Chris?
Hey, man. Happy to be on. How's everything going with you?
Look, man, everything is fantastic. I'm grateful to have you on here. I'm grateful that we were able to connect. We've been in touch with your team. I want to thank Michelle, my business partner. She's been extremely persistent with your team in reaching out and getting you on the podcast, but not just to get you on the podcast, It's because we're grateful, man. And we're grateful because we learned a shit ton from your book as a team. I have a marketing agency outside of the podcast, and I like to make sure that everybody's on top of their shit, man, and that they know what's going on, that they're reading the right books. We all read the same books together. We take notes. We discuss. And let me tell you how beneficial your book has been for my team, for the negotiations that we've been doing lately. We've been seeing all of the tactics and things that we learned in your book applied in real life and seen how well it has worked. Man, even Michelle was using it on your team, man, on you guys to try and get you on this podcast. And we're so excited, man, that you were able to put all of that experience into something that could help business owners now, right? It's a complete pivot from what you were doing before. So let's talk about where you started off in your career. You grew up in Kansas City. You became a cop. And what happened then? How did it end up getting to FBI?
Yeah, well, let's be fair. I grew up in Iowa. I went from Iowa to Kansas City. Applied for the FBI, and they hired me, shockingly enough. They hired a bunch of folks when they hired me, so I snuck them in the crowd. Shortly thereafter, I did 2 years in Pittsburgh. Then I was in New York City. I was on a joint terrorist task force in New York City. I'd been on the SWAT team in Pittsburgh, but for physical reasons, you know, a knee that I was busting up too many times, switched from SWAT to negotiation. And then it was off to the races. It was crazy. One thing after another.
So in the book, you mentioned how when you first started getting into negotiations, you tried to get firsthand experience and you ended up working at a suicide hotline, which gave you a lot of insight and a lot of experience to be able to work with people in the job of negotiations. How was that experience?
Yeah, well, it was awesome. I mean, crisis hotline is a masterclass on emotional intelligence. You know, people think that decision-making under crisis is somehow different. It's not. People are still driven by the same considerations. I mean, you know, there's a saying out there, it's how you do one thing, it's how you do everything. So how do you make a decision under normal circumstances? You know, you weigh things out the same way in a crisis. So you learn it on a suicide hotline and it ends up applying to everything else.
Chris, so you did suicide hotline. you got into FBI negotiations. Where did you see your, did you ever see yourself writing a book? Did you ever see yourself doing what you're doing now? Or was there a specific experience that you had in your FBI career that kind of pivoted you in the direction you are, you're going into now, which is you're an entrepreneur, you're an educator, you're teaching everything that you've learned in order for other people to be able to benefit from it. Was there a catalyst?
Now, you know, I never thought the book was going to be that important. And I was completely wrong about that. I mean, I figured that if you just started showing that this stuff worked, you didn't have to have a book to prove it to people. You know, I figured if I taught at Harvard, that would be enough. It wasn't. I figured if I taught at Georgetown, that would be enough. It wasn't. I mean, you know, having a book, if you're a consultant, if you're teaching people how to do stuff, having a book is a game-changing moment. We kind of did it in addition to what we were doing. And it just, it was huge. It just made, it changed the entire world for us.
So now you have Black Swan Group. You're currently helping a bunch of big businesses close better deals. In the book, you mentioned no deal is better than a bad deal. That stayed with me heavily throughout everything that I do now. Now, every time I'm working on a deal, I'm looking at perfect client traits. I'm looking at, is this going to be a good deal? Is this a deal that my team should get into? But to get back to the point, Black Swan Group, you're running Black Swan Group. You have never split the difference in how many languages now?
It's 30 countries, probably 27 languages, roughly.
So 27 languages. You got 27 different languages of the book. You got Black Swan. You got Brandon, your son, helping you out. You guys are running a solid family operation. I could relate to that. I work with my old man and try to help as much as I can. Very proud of everything that he's done. It must be very exciting for your family and to be able to see all of the great things that are happening around and how many people you guys are helping right now.
Yeah, well, you know, it's kind of cool. I mean, my son Brandon, he really runs a company. I mean, he's turned into a phenomenal executive, and ultimately his book is going to be How to Build a Business. It's me and him and my daughter-in-law, but the rest of our team are non-family members. You know, we're looking for talent now, and we're really, I suppose by definition, it's a family business, but we try to operate it like any other business.
Yeah. So what areas of the business that are you guys seeing now that require growth or where you're looking in talent? Because I mean, this is one of the best platforms or podcasting or one of the best platforms to speak what you're looking for, to look for talent. I've been able to hire most of my team on the podcast side and on the agency side through social media, through LinkedIn, through podcasting. They've been able to find out about opportunities. What areas of growth are you guys looking for right now?
Well, we've got our eye on several people already. We're real careful. We don't recruit in a typical way.
Okay.
We're expanding the business in terms of what we're putting out, how we're teaching people and training people. We're moving online like everybody else. We were online some before now, and we see this as a huge opportunity to expand our online offerings.
So today, and I think it's going to be able to, we're going to be able to tie this in great, because today, one of the things that I wanted to concentrate on is obviously bad habits when negotiating in business, things to stay away from, when applying to jobs, when looking to start your own business. What are some things to stay aware of when negotiating? What are some bad habits that people you see usually stick onto, some common denominators that you see in the space?
Well, you know, trying to talk first. That's the biggest problem. Whether or not you're making your case first, whether or not you're making your pitch first, whether or not you're throwing your numbers first. Talking first and talking the most. Talking the most. One of our sayings is, he or she who talks most loses. I mean, you got to gather information from the other side. You know, the cliche that you got two ears and one mouth, you should listen twice as much as you talk. That's a bad ratio. You should actually, the other side should talk five times as much as you. I mean, you got eyes, ears, nose. I mean, you got to pick up stuff from the other side on all levels. So, you know, gathering information from the other side by keeping your mouth shut. And keeping your mouth shut is just not waiting for your turn to talk. It's actually paying attention to what the other side's saying.
Hey, I just wanted to jump in real quick to tell you about how to train yourself in organization, balancing your priorities, developing successful habits, and most importantly, having a better mindset. I'm giving free access to resources and materials on business management and self-development. Go to hustleinspireshustle.com/app to get access. That's hustleinspireshustle.com/app. Make sure to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter at Hustle Inspires Hustle. Okay, let's get back into the episode.
Yeah, effective pauses. Silence is powerful. Understand the other side. Show you understand before attempting to get what you want. Labels and mirrors. Let's get a brief breakdown on labels and mirrors. I know this is something that goes around a lot, and a lot of people are implementing it now from your masterclass, from your book, and from the material you'll be putting out.
Yeah, well, you know, labels and mirrors are to specific tools to get the other side to talk about the stuff that you want them to talk about in a very unguarded way. Mm-hmm. You know, to get people to open up. Like if you said something that's interested in me and I want you to talk some more about it, instead of saying, what do you mean by that? Or can you tell me more about that? I'll just mirror it. I'll pick up 1 to 3 words of what you said and I'll repeat it. And you'll expand. You'll go on. And I can use that as very surgical application to gently draw the conversation in different directions depending upon what I choose to mirror, what 1 to 3 words I choose to repeat back to you verbatim. And it's like a Jedi mind trick, but I have a tremendous amount of influence on where the conversation goes based on what I mirror.
Yeah. What about labels? I know labels, you could label somebody in a positive way, you could label somebody in a negative way to get 2 black swans. Can you break that down a little bit better for me so I could have a better understanding?
You know, labels are the greatest information gathering device out there. Like, if I need information out of you, most people, we all know that we need information. We think that the best way to get it is to ask questions. That is not a good way. A label is just a verbal observation. I'm gonna use a label to draw you out. One of our clients refers to labels as unlocking the floodgates of truth telling. You know, I need to get you to spill the beans. I need you gushing about stuff. And I need you to not feel interrogated, to not feel like I'm asking you questions, because your guard's going to go up as soon as I start asking questions. So the labels are kind of like the MacGyver. You know, I don't even know if people even know who MacGyver is. MacGyver was a TV show guy that could make tools out of anything. You know, he could defuse a bomb with a ballpoint pen. You know, he did crazy stuff with tools. You know, the labels are the MacGyver tool of negotiations.
Now, minimal encouragers, this has been really cool for me in conversation. And I used to do it before without really thinking that it was a thing. Let's break down minimal encouragers real quick.
Well, you know, minimal encouragers is a thing that a lot of people do to make it look like they're listening when they're not. You know, somebody goes, yeah, uh-huh. Okay, all that kind of stuff. Now, the other side finds it very encouraging. A lot of people do it because they've discovered the other guy will keep talking. I make these little sounds, I'll keep talking. My mind can wander. They encourage people to talk. You should be paying attention while they're talking. It should not be an excuse for your mind to wander. So they're a really effective tool as long as you're actually paying attention.
This wraps up the first half of our series with Chris Voss. We'll see you in the next episode for part 2.
Thank you for joining me on this episode of the Hustle Inspires Hustle podcast. I'd appreciate it if you could share, leave a review, and subscribe to the show. Visit hustleinspireshustle.com/app for more free resources, event invitations, and online courses to empower your personal and financial success. Learn about marketing, finances, business development, branding, strategic partnerships, and much more. If you're looking to further connect, check me out on Instagram or LinkedIn at Alex Quinn. That's AlexQuinn. See you on the next episode.